I don't know if you know this or not, but I love technology, but if anything's ever going to go wrong, it goes wrong with technology sometimes. And so the popping and those things, I apologize for that. I'll be honest with you, we've been chasing that since this whole thing started. And we've done all kinds of things, and some Sundays we got it figured out, and then other Sundays we ain't. So there you go. There you have it. All right. If you got your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I was getting to the church early this morning. And as I was coming to the church, most years, at least in my experience, the Sunday following July 4th, on our parking lot, there tends to be a little bit of debris because we got a big parking lot, big open space, and folks from around the community come and have traditionally used it to shoot off fireworks, which, in my opinion, is just fine. Obviously, you sure hope they would pick up well after themselves. And so on the way down this morning, I thought, oh man, I should have swung through last night and encouraged folks to pick up. And so I pulled on the parking lot this morning, and I noticed there was not as much debris. And so I thought, well, man, that's great. Praise the Lord, folks picked up after themselves. That's a good thing. And so Jonathan came in this morning, and we were visiting, talking about it. And I said, man, you know, there wasn't as much debris on the parking lot this morning. He said, I noticed that. And then it suddenly dawned on me. And I don't know, those of you maybe a little older, you probably have realized this, but in the last little over a year, we worked hard on, asked the electric company to come and upgrade our lights outside on our parking lot. And I believe probably not as many fireworks shot off last night on our parking lot, because there's a whole lot more light on the parking lot than what there used to be. And fireworks and lights don't go well together, right? Because you see the difference. And so even the light on our parking lot changed behaviors. And this morning I want to preach to you on this expectation of joy. Remember, that's the theme of chapter 2. We see this expectation of joy here. And that then he's going to talk about this gospel light. This light of the gospel that you and I, that we are to be the light. And so, as a light into a dark world, we ought to be causes of change. I know that in a very small way, lights on our parking lot change behavior, but that's what light does. It changes behaviors. It drives things. Okay? All right, so Philippians chapter 2. A gospel light. So if you found your place, Philippians chapter 2, I guess I'll tell you what verse that'll help. Verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Find your place. Will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you, here it is, shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for your word. I pray now you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray, God, that you be glorified, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so this gospel light, and so if you're wanting to take notes this morning, follow along, and just a reminder, I know not everybody necessarily has it or follows along with a smartphone or a tablet, but on the Bible YouVersion app, our notes are there if you look under events. But the main idea of the text is this: God desires for Christians to be a gospel light in a dark world. We're going to talk about being a gospel light this morning, but that's His desire for you today. Is all Christians to be a gospel light in a dark world. And so the question of the text this morning is, what kind of impact is your life having? And I'll be honest with you, as I was preparing for this, as difficult as it's been, I believe a really great example that I've had the privilege to see, unfortunately, play out in front of us is the life of Miss Carrie. And in the recent days, to see the impact that she had as she lived unto Jesus. And now she would be the first to make sure I was clear this morning that any impact she had for the gospel for good was because of Jesus in her. But as the last few weeks we've ministered to this family, I'll be honest with you, I've often thought, God, I pray that I would have an impact the way that she has. And I want to ask you, rather than waiting till we get to the end of our days or waiting until a memorial service or a funeral, I want to ask you, what kind of impact is your life having right now? And no, it's not about people, a lot of people signing a guest book. It's not about a lot of people filing into a football stadium. But dear friend, it is about when you one day stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are in the presence of Almighty God, and what kind, how many people are going to be around the table that have been there, that are there because of your impact, because of your life. That's being a gospel light in a dark world. And there are three truths I want to mine out of this text this morning, but before we get there, I want you to look at verse 12. It begins with a very small word, simple word, therefore. And I need to remind you of the verses that came just before this. This was in specifically 5 through 11. Therefore, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And those beautiful words that come alongside and talk about Jesus coming and living the life here on earth, living a life of a servant. Says that he was obedient. He was even obedient to the point of death and the death of the cross. Because Jesus has done for you and for me what he has done, then Paul writes, therefore. So on the basis of the life, the service, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Paul calls us to some things. And so, number one, a gospel light produces good works. A gospel light produces good works. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I need you to look at worked out, and you need to mark, underline, hold your finger down and highlight, work out. Work out your own salvation. Here's what I need you to understand, okay? And you may jot this down somewhere. It is a work out, not a work for. A work out and not a work for. This is pivotal to this verse. Because I know sometimes we read these things quickly, and I need to remind you, this is the same Paul that says, you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. He's the same one that for the wages of sin, but listen, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, this is the same writer that says it's not by works of the flesh, it's not works of the law, but it's only through grace. And I need you to hear clearly this morning, friend, if you are going to spend eternity in heaven, if you are going to stand before the Lord and Lord and King of Kings, and He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, it will only be because of the faith that you placed in the Lord Jesus, and He gifted you, He brought you salvation. Not because of anything you did to earn it. Everybody with me this morning, okay? Last thing I want you to do is walk out of here and think that I'm preaching some gospel that says that you earn your salvation. That's not the good news at all. Rather, the good news says that you can't earn it. And that's exactly why Jesus came. Remember, let this mind be in you, and talking about Christ. Because Jesus has done the work for you, He has given you salvation. But this is, I need you to hear this, that there we talk about salvation in three different aspects. That I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. That is, I am saved. There was a point in my life, October 10th, 2004, in Branch Baptist Church, I got on my knees and said, God, if you'll take me, here I am, save me. And that moment, God saved me, forgave all my past, present, and future sin, clothed me in His righteousness, and one day when He calls me home or He returns, I will be saved. But here's what I need you to understand. In the interim, I'm being saved. Here's the $2 Southern Baptist or the $2 seminary word, sanctification. I was saved here. Positionally and before God, He gave me a salvation. One day He'll call me home or He'll come back for me. But in the process of time, in the dash in between, He is saving me. That is making more and more and more like Himself. Okay? We got to talk about this because the work out your salvation points to good works, not for salvation, because of salvation. And so, because I am saved, there ought to be good works in my life. My life ought to be different. See, the reality is that my life should look different than it did 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago. And in 2, 4, 8, 10, however long should the Lord wait, our life ought to look differently. The compulsion, the desire for sin or wrongdoing ought to be less. The desire for good ought to be greater. Because He has called us here because of what Jesus has done. Work out your salvation. What's He saying? Do good works. Because you are saved, you ought to live differently. Look back at Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. That's a fruit of this. Taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, there it is, and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So Jesus fulfills the ultimate good work. And He does it as an example for us because of what Jesus has done, then I ought to produce good works in my life. And we see this in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's the point of salvation. Why? For good works. There's the sanctification. There's the process and being saved. That's the working out of your salvation, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so He says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Remember, Paul went, planted a church. God was working there. He has left even while he's been gone. They've still been fulfilling this, but then He gives them the command that they are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then I need you to see verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So here's the beauty. You couldn't earn your salvation, okay? There's nothing you can do to earn it. So you come to Him, you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, you place your faith and trust in Him, He saves you right then, you follow Him in believer's baptism. Then there's this process, you know that He's going to save you at the end, but there's this process of work out or produce good works. Here's the beauty, God does that too. If you'll allow Him. If we'll just get out of our own way sometimes and allow God to work in us and work through us. While we work, God works in us. Colossians 1:29, Paul said this, "To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." That working in us. Paul says, as I work, it's because God is working in me. And so, number one, a gospel light produces good works. Number two, a gospel light permeates darkness. It permeates darkness. Here's verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labor in vain. So we're going to walk through these just a little bit, and it gets really difficult right from the beginning with verse 14. Do all things, I want you to mark or underline, complaining. Another word for that in other translations is grumbling. And I'll tell you right now, this is for your pastor studying, this is where it got to "oh me" and not "amen." This is where the Lord really began to do surgery in my own heart as I started doing some word study and looking at this. And so some have defined it differently. Scott Hubbard defined grumbling this way, or complaining in our translation this morning. Grumbling is the hum of the fallen or sinful human heart, and often a hallmark of Christians' indwelling sin. Grumbling can be defined like this: it is discontent expressed through a low tone that sometimes others may hear. Now I know you fine Christian people this morning don't know anything about grumbling, unless you've overheard it somewhere. "I can't believe it. They sang that song this morning. They moved my pew. They, you know, they're not doing this or they're not doing that. Or they overcooked my hamburger. They overcooked my steak. I told them medium. Total medium." Y'all don't know anything about that. I know. But grumbling is that low tone where we're not saying anything, but we're saying something. It just permeates the environment where we're at, because it just oozes out of us. It says, do all things without grumbling. You remember growing up? Mom or dad told you to go do something. Grandma or grandpa told you to go do something. And you did it. But from the moment you walked out of the door, you fussed. And you probably didn't have enough nerves to say anything inside the house. When you got outside, let them have it. Walk back through the door, you're quiet. That's grumbling. Paul says, do all things without grumbling. It gets tough. It gets hard. See, grumbling is that low tone that sometimes other people hear, but he says, do all things without complaining. And then notice the next word, and disputing. See, grumbling's the low tone that sometimes people overhear. It's the fussing to yourself. The disputing is the outward projection of that, where you're fighting with somebody else. You've engaged with somebody else. Paul said, do all things without grumbling or complaining or disputing, fighting with one another. Now, I know I was being a wee bit sarcastic a moment ago, but let's be honest. These two things right here are probably among the leading excuses as to why people don't attend church, right? Well, I don't want to go down there. All that church does is fight. They argue. I'm not saying necessarily it's said about our church. It may or may not be. I don't know. But I know it's a leading excuse as to why non-believers or people in the community don't go to church. I recently had a conversation with a pastor in our association where we were talking about an area that is unreached, unengaged, that they need somebody to go and tell them about Jesus. And they said, we'll have to start a Bible study there because they won't come to our church. All they know us for is for fighting. My goodness, God have mercy on us. Paul said, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Church. One of the verses of Scripture that has always gripped my heart, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The writer wrote this, pursue peace with all people and holiness. And then notice this phrase, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace and holiness with everybody, without which no one will see the Lord. Second Baptist Church, we need to listen and lean in carefully this morning, because the last thing we want to do is be responsible or not be responsible for Russellville and the River Valley not experiencing God in the way that you and I have, because we're not careful. We don't do all things without disputing and grumbling. Negativity and grumbling and disputing comes in all forms. There was an article, a piece of satire written in the LA Times by Barry Siegel, and titled, the article was "A World May End with a Splash." And he's poking at those who are overtly negative. And anybody that has social media, I'm sure glad we're not in a day and season where people are negative, aren't you? Well, a lot of grace, a lot of kind words, all that kind of thing. And this was written well before COVID, but he writes this piece, and so it's satire, okay? He's poking fun. I don't want anybody to walk away talking about pickles here in a little bit, okay? But this is what he writes. It has been reported that pickles cause cancer, communism, and airline tragedies, auto accidents, and crime waves. 99% of cancer victims have eaten pickles. 100% of soldiers, 96.8% of communist sympathizers, 99.7% of those involved in auto and airplane accidents have eaten pickles. Those born in 1839 who ate pickles have 100% mortality rate. Rats force-fed 20 pounds of pickles a day for a month ended up with bulging abdomens and a loss of appetite. Now listen, I know you've never been around those people, right? You've never been around those people that see no matter what it is, they can turn it into a negative, they can fuss and complain and all that kind of thing. But what are those people really like being around? As soon as they walk in, the air is taken out of the room. As soon as it's engaged in, nobody wants to tell them something new. Nobody wants to engage in a conversation with them because you feel like, man, all life is just going to be taken from them or from you because you're excited about this. And they're just natural grumblers and complainers. But rather than not being a complainer, not being a grumbler or a disputer, listen to what he goes on to say. Do all things without complaining and disputing, verse 13, that you may become blameless and harmless. You can't be blameless and harmless if you're complaining and disputing. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I believe that's a fairly accurate description for all generations, especially now. Notice this, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So he says, don't complain, don't dispute, don't fight, but rather be a light. Why? Because we live in a dark day. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. Dear friends, we are called to be lights. Do you remember Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16? You are light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine, look at this, before men that they may see your good works. And look, glorify your Father in heaven. That's why I walked around this week singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know, there's a version of that that says, I'm not going to let Satan it out. Let me help you real quick. Stop teaching your grandkids or kids that. Listen to me. Look really closely. If you could take your light and put it 1 inch in front of Satan's face, he does not have the ability to. The only person that has the ability outside of God to hide your light, to blow your light out, to do any of it is you. You can't lose your salvation. That's the picture that's here. You can't even lose your salvation. God says when we're saved, we're placed in His hand, and no one can pluck us out of His hand. Nobody can blow the light out. The only thing that can happen is be covered up, and that's only by you. He's called us to shine as lights in the world. Number three, a gospel light provides joy to believers. Look at verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same person, or the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. All things, don't complain or dispute. And then he ends this talking about joy. He's in the midst of sacrifice. He's in the midst of being, scripture here, he's given the picture of being poured out as an offering, as a drink offering. Remember, he's in prison. He's facing difficult days. He's being persecuted. And rather, what does he say? Live this way, I'm being poured out, and I'm doing it with joy. What's he doing? He's not complaining and he's not disputing. So because of that, in the midst of the difficulty, he finds joy. And so, dear friend, no matter where life has you today, you have a choice. Because complaining and disputing, what happens? They are joy stealers. They take joy. They take joy from you. And they take joy from other people. But rather, if you do all things without that, what happens? You give joy. You're pleasant to be around. Folks go, man, I like being around them. They're a blessing. Every time I'm with them, they're encouraging. So you can either be one that steals joy or gives joy. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Dear friend, whatever season of life, whatever adversity, do it without complaining and grumbling. Let your light shine that you may impart joy to others. That you may live a life filled with joy. Isn't it draining to be negative? I realize you're going to have to answer based on what you've seen in other people. You've never had seasons like that. But it's draining to be negative. But man, when you see life in a different light, go, man, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to grumble. I'm going to look for the good. I'm going to look for opportunities to serve the Lord. I'm going to look for opportunities to turn and use this for God's glory. It breeds joy into the situation. And so, how are you going to make an impact? Good works? Shining your light? And using it all for the glory of God, that it may bring joy to others. God wants you to be a gospel light into a dark world. And that begins first with a decision to follow Jesus for salvation. It begins with saying, you know what, I've been living that. I've never had that joy. I've never had that peace that you've talked about, preacher. Won't you surrender your heart and life to Jesus? Begin with that decision. You need to make that decision similar to what I did, you know, nearly 10 years ago now. Surrender your heart and life to Christ. I guess 16 if you use math. Sorry. Some of y'all paying attention. Some of y'all missed it, and I ain't going to replay it for you, all right? But if you'll surrender your heart and life to Jesus, I thought 10, I haven't been saved. I've been saved longer than that, I think. My wife thinking you ain't act like it. Squirrel right there, it's gone, you know, I'm done. But some of you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Be it here, be online. Follow Christ. Repent. Turn from your sins. Place your faith and trust in Him. And then secondly, this is the second part of the invitation. Some of you may be in a season where there's a lot of grumbling and disputing that you're guilty of right now. Grumbling, maybe nobody else even knows, but you're grumbling. You need to repent. God, forgive me. Whatever situation is, God, give me grace. Now listen, here's the thing. Let's be honest. We are in a season where there are a lot of Christians grumbling. Grumbling about COVID. Grumbling about this situation, that situation. Listen, I'm not saying you got to like it. But I'm just saying, what would it look like? What would social media look like? What would our environment look like if Christians walked around looking at this as an opportunity for whatever God has given it to us rather than grumbling and complaining? Some of us maybe need just, God, forgive me. I've been complaining, looking for fights. Help me. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love and affection. And I pray, God, that in this moment, if there's anybody that needs Christ, that they would repent and turn toward you. And for those of us, God, maybe need to just seek your forgiveness for complaining, looking for fights, God, that you'd help us turn unto you, Lord Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you need to repent and believe on Jesus. You need to be saved. I'll lead you in what's called a sinner's prayer, but please understand this. Words of a prayer have never saved anybody. but it's attitude of your heart. You can pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you need a moment just right where you're at to ask the Lord to forgive you for grumbling, complaining, you take a moment. If you prayed and asked the Lord to save you, that's a decision you need to share. You need to be bold with. You can do that by getting online and filling out the form that says, "I prayed to receive Christ," or "I'm new." And there's a box there that says, "I prayed to receive Christ." Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Reach out to me or Pastor Jonathan and let's talk. Lord, I thank you for how you love and care for us. I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to you. I pray for any who are saved this morning, you give them boldness. Pray for those that are saved that need to follow in baptism. God, you give them boldness to take that step. And Lord, I pray as we've asked this morning, God, forgive us for grumbling, for complaining, for disputing, for fighting, Lord Jesus. Help us to be light in a dark world. Help us to live for an eternal impact. Lord, we love and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.